blessings on all of our lives, that we would walk, would continue to conform our lives to the image of Christ. So, Father, we thank you for all this, and that we revelation, help us to understand it, help us to apply it to our lives. We thank you for this book through your Holy Spirit, that you would honor this time, and that you would help me teach and discuss. So we just ask in Christ's name. Amen. Is the sound okay? Is this good? Your word. We pray this in Christ. It's a little loud?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Irma, is this a good volume? Then that'd be good. If you could sit outside the room, maybe down a little bit. Okay, just for those of you who don't know, renovating the main sanctuary, which is right next to the fellowship hall. So our church is running, and they're banging and pounding and making all sorts of noises. So that's why we have been moved room, and we will finish out the year in this room. So get comfortable here. And if you're like me, you don't like change, right? Comfortable, forced to change. And I don't know about you, but this kind of looks like the same room to me. But guess what? We're being here. But while we're talking about scheduling, maybe a little tighter, last page, which would be, I think, 261. Things. Let's go to the last two things that I want to just go over with you. First of all, on page two, there's the picture of Dennis. I think 261. There's my mom's been talking about Dennis. So you have no idea what this guy looks like. All these years, let's have some fun here. Raise your hand if you think Dennis looks like Dennis. Okay, now. Okay, yeah. A couple of you people had Dennis pictured. Okay. Okay. Well, there he is. In living this way. And then the other thing I just want to share with you, black and white, Dennis, is our remaining schedule. Just above. Next week we'll be discussing Revelation chapter 17, just sick chapter. Not that you want to miss any week, but don't miss next week. Just a fascinating to you. Then April 26th will be the church will celebrate our next week. We'll be just introducing some of our missionaries, our Global Missions Fest. May 17th we're really targeting to be done, and I think if the leadership of Deeper Roots, and then we have 3 weeks in. I think that's kind of where we're falling. So that kind of gives you that what's going on. And since we're on page 261. I'll give you an idea what the first two questions, or maybe just the first question, so you can kind of get thinking about it. Let's just go over the lesson here on the bold judgments. So on page 261, the questions we're going through this, what is your reaction to the bold judgments? What does it tell us about God? And for the tables, what does it tell us about those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior? And what does it tell us of the human heart? So kind of keep those in the back of your mind as we are going about the condition. And let's open up with going way back to page 2 through this. And again from 53, standpoint of Revelation, we are at the end, and you can see from a chronological stereo, We are at the end in these two chapters 15 and 16, on your page where I have the end of the seven-year tribulation. After the events of today, we are at the only thing left in Revelation from the standpoint of a day, the only when it relates to the seven-year tribulation, will be an event of Christ. And after that, we'll get into the millennial kingdom. And then the new heavens, the second coming of Christ. Point of this seven-year time period that we have been really spending most new earth, but from the standpoint, we are coming to the end of the tribulation. And if you remember of our time discussing in chapter 11, and again, looking on your front page there, from a standpoint of chronology, from the events that were kind of moving forward, chapter 11, 15 through 19 was the seventh trumpet sounding. Revelation chapter, and if you want to in your Bibles, I didn't print this out, but if you want to go to Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19, discuss it, but this will kind of give you a little bit of frame of reference to kind of help you kind of organize. Just let me read it. We're not going to, but it was way back in chapter 11 that the seventh trumpet revelation in your mind. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has founded, Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 20 become the kingdom of our Lord, and their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks to you, Lord God, 24 elders who sit on his and who was. For you have taken your great power, God Almighty, who with the nations raged, but your wrath came and begun to reign, judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and the time for the dead to be destroyers of the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen within his temple. And for destroying the flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail." There were flat. So chapter 11 was the seventh trumpet. Look in that middle chart there, back on page 253 of your notes. And if you look, you'll see that we've already gone through the seals. The seventh seal introduced these, and we just read there in chapter 11 that the seventh trumpet judgment introduced the bowl judgments, and we're going to get that today. But if you turn the page, the trumpet is going to introduce. What Revelation did was take a little interlude. What the book, and in chapters 12 through 15, we kind of got out of moving forward into the tribulation, and we kind of step back of the chronology. John filled in some details. And chapter 12 about this woman and the dragon. Details in chapter Israel and Satan. Again, we're going back over a month now. Who it represents, it talked about that. Chapter 13. We talked about the Antichrist and the false prophet. Last week we talked about these three angels, and this week we're moving forward to the chronology of Revelation, and we're going to be talking about the bowl judgments, which will be coming now back into the chronology. So if we just keep moving here on page 2 at the end of the tribulation, and start reading here in Revelation chapter 55, 1 through 14. God is going to usher in his chapter 15 verses. And this is one of the main points that I've always wanted final judgment to take away from this study, is that all during this 7 year, I wanted you to God has been reaching out to humankind with the message of what? Time period, and he's been doing it supernaturally. Salvation through these 144,000 witnesses. He's been doing it, these two witnesses, and he's been doing it through have a period of ministry on the earth, and what can come out of their mouth that are going to, and so this will be a miraculous testimony to Christ. We have this flying eagle, we have this angel that talks about the eternal gospel, and we frankly go, we're talking about coming to Christ. So during this whole 7 year time, just to have normal people have been hearing about the message of salvation. And time period of some people's sin, what is happening to their heart? And unfortunately, because they hear, the more their heart gets what? hard. The more they... And unfortunately, as we move into this chapter, mercy refuses... demands judgment. Mercy refused receives judgment. So as we see this chapter 15, we're going to see awful judgment. 15 and 16, people kind of think that, you know, the seal judgments took a, and where before time and the trumpet judgments took a longer period of time, what we're going to find out here took a longer period of time. Again, in my humble opinion, in chapter 16, these bold judgments are boom, 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 boom. They're going to come what? One comes, people get to, and then another one comes. People are not going to, when one. Why are these coming so quickly now? They're going to be able to get their breath. Or God appeared to be taking his time. Because in the when before and in the trumpet judgments, God is using judgment, God the sealed judgments, and gets people's attention. That's also part of the evangelistic message. God is using pain, taste. Here's a little taste of your future. If you reject Christ as your, here's a little what your eternity will look like. Will you please wake up, your Savior? This is, and as we move into chapter 15 and 16, we are God's harsh judgment, and you're going to stand back. You're going to see, and you're going to say, "Wow, God hates sin." What is God going to do with sin? He's going to eradicate it. Sin. He is going to burn it up. Who reject him, he will torment forever. And for those who... Welcome to Bible study today. And then in chapter 6, excuse me, in chapter 7, and God is wonderful to do this. He explains 17 and 18, chapter 16. We are why he did about people. We are not talking a hint of worshiping God. We're going to who even have a 16, where as a believer, you're just going to be, how? I read some things in chapter 6. How can people reject all this? How can you be in the middle? How can people horrible judgments affirm that they're from God and still of these horrible, I hate you, God? They'll say what? It shows the condition of the human heart. Frankly, John King, who's the most important thing? And again, this human spirit. Thank you. That thing, the John King, me too well. Can you keep it down though, a little bit there? Okay. My pride wants to worship who? Thank you. You know me. That's the human sin nature. I'm me. And guess what? In my sin nature, I'm the most important person in the room. Sorry, honey. Did Lauren walk? I believe that. Or did I get that one early? This is how we're going to see human sin nature, even in the face of, and this in front of you. You still will say, "Be gone." Of truth, it's right in. I would rather take your judgment than bend a knee. So when we're, oh good, she's coming. Honey, welcome. Great to see you. Okay. Let's give a round of applause for my wife, please. Thank you very much. She is fabulous. She's the most important person in my life. Okay. Okay. And none of you are to say a word. I know you women talk. Yeah. But the seriousness of what we're talking about here, it's just going to be amazing. That for the seriousness to worship itself. And so when we're going out and we're trying to the human heart wants to understand that. This is not an issue of share Christ with people. Under enough facts down someone's throat, they'll see the light. Guess what we're going to be seeing? Boy, if I can just cram these people's throats are chock full of facts. They are even actually what? Being here. Seeing it. They are living it. And they are still pushing back. As we try to encourage you to share Christ, are facts important? Of course they're important. But what will convict a person to come to Christ? The power of the what? Holy Spirit. And this is what we should be girding our efforts with. Is that as we pray for family members, and as we pray, this is what we, co-workers or whomever, we are undergirding that the Holy Spirit pray for friends and neighbors and rip away the what? The blinders that people have. And would Spirit would so that people will see the need for a Savior. So that they will bend in a heart, Christ Lord. And believe in their heart that God raised them from the what? Their knee and called Jesus. So let's jump into this here. Dead. Might be my longest introduction. But let's tackle this. I don't necessarily like reading. Page 255. It's kind of a group, so let's do that. I'm sorry? 15 verses in a row, but it's 8 verses. Thank you. See? We've already saved time. 8 verses. Okay. Oh, sign in heaven. You see where I am here? Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing. Then I saw another angels with 7 plagues, which are the last. For with them the wrath of 7 angels. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire. The wrath of God is finished. The beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps and also those who had conquered. And they sing the song of Moses. Interesting. Of God in their hands. And the song of the Lamb saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty, the servant of God. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear thee by your name? For you alone are holy. All nations fear, O Lord, and glorify, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked in the sanctuary that will come and worship you. Opened, and out of the sanctuary came the 7 angels with the 7 plagues, clothed in 10 of witness, and heaven was linen with golden sashes around their chests. And one of the 4 living creatures, pure, bright linen, angels, 7 golden bowls, full of the wrath of God. Creatures gave to the 7 angels. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, who lives forever and ever. No one could enter the sanctuary until the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were finished. And no one. Here is an amazing picture in heaven. One of these 4 living. Wow. Handing out bowls. These are shallow, big bowls that were used in living creatures. Is a shallow, big bowl. What can you do with a shallow, big bowl? Very quickly, you can what? Sacrifice, as opposed to a very deep bowl. The deep bowl. These are bowls you can dump. You can flip what? Very quickly. And again, I think this relates where you can. These judgments are going to be coming. And what are they filled with? As to how fast the wrath of God. As we live in our society, what is our society afraid of? Wars, murder, rape. ISIS. We spend economies afraid of things, don't we? What should we spend a lot of time afraid of? The wrath of God. Now, when you number one thing we'd be afraid of, what do you sound like? Yeah. When you say that, I'm about to lose my job. No, the wrath of God. You're crazy. What does the wrath of God do to you? It can put you in hell for how long? Eternity. Because what can the wrath? This is the thing that you need to be afraid of. This is the most important thing in eternity. Now, are other things that we're afraid of, are they legit many times in your life? But this is what the world really needs to be afraid of. Of course, on the street, doesn't even have a what? Clue. And the average person walking down, and this is where you come in. You give them the what? You share with them the need for salvation. Truth. You give them the clue. The corner. God's wrath. God's judgment. Because guess what's coming around? It also talks here about, in verse 4, because right in the middle, for God, you alone are what? Holy. There. Right? Means pure, sinless. There's no wrong found in God. Holy means only one. And he is the what? Everybody else, including whom? So who isn't holy? Confucius? Dare I say Allah? Buddha? Just so you know, ladies, Allah and Almighty God are not Allah person. Don't fall into that tomfoolery. Not the same person. Allah is a false God. The faith of Judaism, they worship a what? False god. Is comprised of who? God the Father, God the Son, and God. Because God is Spirit. And if you worship anything else, you are worshiping a false god. You are on the side of the what? Holy Satan. And I understand this in of who? Who may be a Muslim, who may be a Jew, who may be with friends. And they're frankly nicer than who? Be an atheist, to be recorded, I just pointed. Okay? And you notice I didn't say that. How can Jesus be the only way? And we just can't comprehend. He is what? Holy. And that's he's the only way because he wants to fellowship with. Because he will eventually judge and separate anything that God, that is what? Evil. Sinful. This is to separate himself from everything. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Because Jesus is the only, this is why we always talk about Jesus, back to God. Because when I put my faith, only holy way, my sins are forgiven, and when God sees me, he does not see my sin. Faith in Jesus, righteousness of Christ. Game over. He sees the righteous. I am now declared what? Holy. Are you kidding me? But this is the rule of God. This is what God says. The righteousness of, to who? Me. And because of that, I'm given eternal life. I'm of Christ is given to God. This is why we should be walking around every day and never losing given eternal fellowship with God. That we were once dead and we are now what? Alive. The passion of our faith. And that happened because it was a gift of God. Nothing that John King. Whew. And so we have this heavenly host praising deserves. In verse 2, in God, be a sea of glass mingled with fire. There appeared to be just an amazing picture. Again, we're stretching here. That has to be just a reach beyond the meaning of the text, just to warn you, but I do think that may be maybe trying to separation of the holiness of God from everything else, level of separation. Fire is many times relates to judgment. Mingled with five Christian martyrs here who've had conquered the beast and its image and the number on its name. And I think we're talking about conquered the beast. They have conquered the beast by during the tribulation time accepting Jesus Christ as their. And how have they conquered? That's how you conquer sin. And it was very odd here, Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but when I read this in verse 3, and they sing the song of here, what? We're talking way in the future here. Moses lived Moses, and these saints are singing what? Song of Moses. 3,500 years ago, there was a song of Moses I didn't memorize, okay? But there is. So question would be, why? I didn't even know this. What did Moses do? Why are we singing about Moses? Israelites, what? Out of Egypt. He delivered them. He brought the... And I think this is really cool. I think this is right on here. What did... The red what? Sea? And what was just described? Did Moses walk through? A sea? Of what? Glass? Christ will deliver saints out of the tribulation into the sea of what? That Christ, the sea of what? Peace. The sea of glass. Holiness. The sea of what? Tranquility. I do what? Is very much there. Because the Israelites, they were supposed to go where? Into the, I do think the imagery is... And what are we promised through faith in Jesus Christ? We are promised what? Promised land. Promised land where? In heaven of rest. Okay? Eternal life. Verse 5. And after this I looked in the sanctuary, the tent of witness in heaven was opened. What's the tent of witness? Back in the Old Testament, what was the tent of witness? Tabernacle, right? What was in the tabernacle? Ark of the Covenant? God's presence? So I think here's a Holy of Holies, a symbol here of looking into the tent of witness. Here's a vision of what couldn't a Old Testament Jew do? Go in there. Why can we look into the tent of witness now? And so we are allowed to look into this because of the blood of Christ, the witness in heaven, and out of the tent of witness we had the Holy of Holies, sanctuary of the tent of, and what is in the Holy of Holies? What did they put the Ark of the Covenant, holies there? And, yeah, the mercy seat, and Indiana Jones and all that stuff, okay? You know, in and they took it off. What did they put into the cover? Excuse me, what did they actually put into the ark? And the mercy seat was the cover. So this is the, and there were other things, but I want to focus on the Ten Commandments. So this is God's truth, in my humble opinion, coming out from the Ten of Witness, Ten Commandments. And God's truth says what about sin? Sin will be what? Judged. Purity of his word. He will hold all accountable with his wrath. And from that, should this scare you? You better believe it scare you. To do. It's meant to wake people up. This is what it's meant for. That's not the right way to come to Christ. You say, John, that's not fair. Yeah, I've said this before, but raise your hand. Raise your hand if you came to Christ because you were afraid to go to hell. Okay? don't know. I see some sisters that I'm going to spend eternity with. That's a good thing. This is right? Way for God to show humankind what is going to be their future if they reject. This is a. What if we didn't talk about hell? Wouldn't you kind of feel better about that? At Christ. But what really are you doing? You're lying to people. You are not giving them the full picture. You're Christ. Okay, that's great. That will motivate many. If we just talk about the love of, if we reject talking about hell, we're leaving a huge part out of this. But if we frankly got my attention as a young boy, that friend of God coming out. And here we have the wrath of verse 8 here. I think this is very interesting, and this is why I believe and going to be very quick from the standpoint of the timing of these bold judgments. This is, as it says there, I've highlighted in the last part of verse 8 there on page 255, and no one judgments, because worry until the seven plagues of the seven angels were what? Finished. One could enter the sanctuary and wait for worship. You can't go into the sanctuary until this is over. How long do you think God's going to not to be worshipped? Thank you. Not very long. How long is God going to wait? Because guess what? We're going to be doing a lot up in heaven. Worshipping. How long? You know, this will be part of the joy of being in heaven, because we are going to see Trinity in its full glory. And we're not going to be able to keep our mouths what? Shut. The glorious Trinity. It is going to be wonderful that we're going to be able to see God in his full majesty. And the first thing I want to do is what? The glorious God. Worship, sing, praise. And so is God going to wait for this? No. This judgment is going to come what? Fast. Well, let's get into this here. Let's keep moving to page 257. In chapter 16. So we're moving into the seven bowls of God. Page 257, chapter 16, verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven God's wrath. Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Angels. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl. See where I am there? God. And poured out his bowl on the earth. And harmful and painful sores came upon him. So the first angel went and bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. So who was going to be upon the people who bore by this first plague? Unbelievers. Who is impacted by this plague? Believers. I mean, guess what? This isn't going to be with the Antichrist kingdom and everyone trying to attack and persecute, the amazing thing. This is still going to be living at the end of the seven-year tribulation. There's going to be believers, Christians, guess even the 144,000 witnesses. What have they still been doing during the seven-year time period? And I believe they've been sharing Christ with anyone who listened. And now this, everyone who is an unbeliever, who has the mark of the beast on them, has sores. Plague comes and everyone and a believer doesn't. What's going on? Who is, do you think? And what's interesting, what we're going to find out here, we're going to understand fully who's doing this. God. And they're going to understand that. This. Who is doing what? Reject. So now people are, and their hearts are still going to. I wasn't going to say this, but I am. We're walking with swords. I got a sore in my leg right now. Thank you. Aramaic, can you lead everybody in one big awe? Aw. Guys would be laughing at me right now, okay? But guess what? Every time, that's why I love teaching women. A portion of my clothes move. What? It hurts. Can you imagine your poor sores? Every time your entire body being covered with. And it only affects those who move, you what? You hurt, and who worship its image. So again, just to remember, as we've talked about, to bear the mark of the beast, and in the middle of this seven-year tribulation, again, don't keep these, sometime during the middle, that tight, but somewhere around the middle, the Antichrist is going to set up his these times where everyone's going to worship who? Him. Who in turn, you really are worshiping who? World religion. So this is going to be a time period where the world will be worshiping the Antichrist with the Satan, okay? Verse 3, mark of the beast, his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse. The second angel poured out, every living thing died that was in the sea. So what we're going to be seeing now is that there's going to be a very similar effect to the bowl judgments and the trumpet judgments. If you remember some of the trumpet judgments, similar aspects, same thing's going to happen with the bowls. But with the trumpet judgments affected the earth, the water, again, we're happening more, I think, toward the middle of the seven-year time period. It was only impacting about the judgments. That. Now, these judgments are a third of the earth. Remember that? Total. Every living thing in the sea is going to die. Catastrophic. What will that do to the food supply to sustain humankind? It'll destroy it. It will what? So we're going to see that these judgments are going to be total, and they are going to be. Nothing is really going to survive after these judgments. Devastating. A lot of time left to decide. Oh, gee. Oh, I need to pick up that cake for the birthday. It's not like there's going to be. No, these are going to be happening. Bam, bam, bam. Birthday party tomorrow. And now you have sores all over your body. The world's in a panic. What are people doing at the grocery store? Caesar blood. They're emptying them. I mean, this is gonna create sores right now. You know, we think a little snowstorm's gonna come in a week. And what do? Chaos. We reorchestrate our entire lives. I'm getting that last piece of bread before you do. Woo! I mean, raise your hand if you've stolen a piece of bread from a little old lady. Have you? No, I know, no. I'm sorry. I must have been the only one. Okay, I'm sorry. No. Okay, let's. And again, I struggle. Do I give you the full impact of it? Do I just make you feel awful? I struggle with teaching this, or do I let you breathe with a joke? Okay. Well, awful about this. Page 258. Poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. The third angel pulled in charge of the water, say, just are you, O Holy One. And I heard the angel who was, for you brought these judgments. Who is? Six is amazing. For these unbelievers, first blood of the saints and the prophets. And now, God, you have what? You have given, for they have shed the blood to drink. It is what? They them blood. And I heard the altar saying, yes, deserve. Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Lord God, the Almighty, ladies, and I talk to myself when I say this, we have to our reaction to sin in our life. Many times, realign. John King says, ooh, I did this, but it's what? It's okay. God will forgive me. Will God forgive me? Amen, he does. But I allow sin. It's a lifetime companion to fester in my life. And what does this passage say about sin? God, judge it. God will what? God does not take sin lightly. He just doesn't. He will judge it with his full wrath. And the response is, he's right. If you have an issue of the judgment of God and the punishing of people, understand this, his holiness, and will suffer for eternity, a perfect, holy people who reject, who does everything right, who does everything perfect, who never makes a wrong decision, God, us, where should you align? Right after God. He says it's just, and if you don't, you are not taking sin seriously enough in your life. And that's the challenge of the believer. Because in my human, and the reason I sin is because what? In nature, I still sin. Why do you sin? Why do I sin? Selfishness? What else? Pride? Very good. What else? Sorry? Enjoy it. That's why you sin. And so this is, while this is obviously is a message about end times, as I read it, and I have a long way to go here, and I think that it convicts me that we take short accounts with God, and most of us do too, worthy of our calling. And that calling is to conform our life. We live lives that are worthy. That's where we should be moving. I started down here as a sinner, and through Christ, and through to the image of Christ. I have now been given power to lead a holy life, even though I fail. But if I started with regeneration, eventually is in heaven with a perfect body. If I start here, my goal here, where's my path? And I should be ending up, is that the path I'm supposed to take? From the bottom right to the top at the end? No, my path. I'm to be pointing to perfection. Path is what? Yes. Am I going to live perfection? No. Am I going to get there? But that's my goal. And how do I live perfection? I get rid of what in my life? Get rid of sin. So these are true and just are your life. Lord God Almighty. It's amazing how he judgments, how they describe God there, right? Almighty God describes. And then we start getting into the fourth and fifth bold judgments. That it just shows you the condition of the human heart, which I warned you about here in the beginning. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. Verse 8 there. He's allowed to scorch people with what? Fire. And the sun was heat. And they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. And they were scorched by the fierce, repent and give him glory. So here people are walking around with sores. They did not full of blood. The fresh water is full of blood. God is the Caesar, because during the 7-year tribulation time, these people who are worshiping the Antichrist, making them drink blood, being believers. So God is punishing them for their sin. They are killing, and now they are being scorched with heat. Implies that the sores, that the sea blood and the fresh water blood, and the relishing heat is all coming from who? God. They get it. The scorched understand fully what's going on. And yet, and what does it say there? They what? Refuse to repent. And don't miss the second part. At the end of verse 9, they glory. This is and give him what? Of the unrepentant heart. We want to give ourselves what? Glory. I don't want to give that away. It's a challenge. But yet in giving that away, hey, right? When I put myself down and glorify God, that I get freedom. What? Rich. Wonderful. That's when my life becomes what? They refuse to give God the glory. They refuse to repent. I'm going to hit this point hard because this has changed my view of Revelation. The reason people are judged is because they want to be judged. You get that? The reason judged, that's what they want. Because they what? They have a choice. People are judged because... And here's this case. So I'm gonna throw it up. What about that person who lives in Yuka? This question always comes up. Who has never heard about Christ? Yuka land. And if you are that person in Yuka land, and you say, gee, I look at them, look at me. There's got to be something out there. Something out there, will you, this creation, you are, and what do you think that something out there would do? Please show me who you are. This is what's exciting is going on in the world of evangelism around the world today. Show him. People are actually getting what? Dreams. There are very dark areas. Miraculous things are happening around the world, bringing people to what? Seeing visions. Guess what's going to be happening here during the 7 years? The same what? Christ. So people will choose what they want. And I remember bro the first time. And it really, it bothered me. I heard this from R.C. dealing with this whole issue of hell. The only people who are going to be in hell, because he was people who what? Want to be in hell. Chew on that one for a while. Hell are going to be people, because you understand, they refuse to be worshiping God. Okay. Here's an eternity. Oh, so what's God going to do? This is what, I'm sorry. You're the Christians. You're not, okay? Away from me. Okay, you want to be away from me? Guess what? And oh, by the way, when you separate my love, my compassion, here it is. My wonderfulness. When you want to get away from that, guess what you mention? My goodness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have. Because you get what you want. And I think this is the beauty of Revelation. It is showing the true condition of the human heart. And it shows me how thankful I should be that the Holy Spirit has brought me to salvation in Christ. And I have been taught this truth, that I'm able to spend time in the world learning more and more and more about the Almighty God. That I go to a church that has a room we can, in the Word, learning more, where we can encourage each other. It's fit in. So good. The fifth angel, so poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his, verse 10, into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish, and his kingdom was plunged in. Cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. What do? I think it's ironic that we are basically at the end of deeds of time from the standpoint of earth. Who are worshiping the Antichrist, basically worshiping Satan. They are, and these people, darkness. And what does God do? Underlines that. Are in spiritual what? You are in spiritual darkness? Okay, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you in what? You want to spend eternity away from me? Guess what I'll do for you? A physical darkness. Darkness. And yet people are still what? I'll give you a little sample of what? Refusing to repent of their deeds. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And it's while coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So John is saying, and I saw a representation of the evil trinity. Seeing a vision here coming out. Three unclean demonic spirits, frogs. Were they frogs? No, they were what? They were like frogs. Spirits, like, for they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble on the great day of God the Almighty. So what is this preparing for them for battle? Demonic spirits are going throughout the entire world and is going to bring the war for. A place called Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo in northern Israel, world into, who do you think is going to be the center of focus in that battle? Israel. Israel. World will come together to try to destroy who? Israel. And the, and I continue to say this, has a huge Israel context to it. You remove Israel, what do you, this is why Revelation, in my opinion, a lot of the answers remove. Why is the world going to come against Israel? Through demonic influence. Again, so how are the world, God's power is being orchestrated to pull people to himself. Satan is also, and this is what while God has been given to him by God to what? To deceive. And he's going to use it. Also using what power, and again, as we go to the end of the of Revelation, I hands continuing to what? To let Satan do more, and I just sense God's to the point where he can orchestrate the entire world to come to battle more. Who have studied Revelation say about the prepare the kings from the east. Now some of you, east of Israel, okay, you got, who is, you got Iran, you keep moving further, you got China, okay. Iraq, you know, China had an army of 200 million. People thought this was so, way back when, an army from China. Now, since this demonic spirit is going around the entire world talking about an army from China, could, does it say it's from the world? Could that be, say it's from the east? You know, this the Euphrates River, China? And Iraq, frankly, this could just be an army from where? Iran or Iraq is through Iran. And this army, the army is coming from where? From the what? East. Iraq or from a U.S.? I mean, what it's just trying to demonstrate from a bigger picture, and this is what I'm trying to get to you in this. And I think teaching of Revelation is more of a bigger picture. The bigger picture here is what? In this evil trinity is going to use their demonic spirits to bring nations to attack Israel at Armageddon. It's from around the world, however you want to put in your pieces, have fun. Big picture. Picture of this sixth judgment here. But I think this is the beauty of Revelation chapter 15. I mean, this is the world. And what is John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, here literally at the end in verse 15? Behold, I am coming like a thief. What are we still trying to communicate here? Second coming of Christ. When am I coming? You're talking about. Because when I'm going to come rob your home, I don't call you up and say, hello, Roberta? You don't know. I'm on my way. Could you please put the furs and jewelry on? On the counter. Like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his... Behold, I am coming. Okay, so if I stay awake and I have my clothes on, what are we talking about? Garments on. What? I'm ready. I remember as a kid, this came to me out here. I'm what? For whatever reason, I wanted to surprise my mom when I was a kid. I was probably like 10 years old. As I read this, I remember, and I have a hard time getting out of bed, right? Okay. They called me Rip Van Winrod growing up, okay? I could sleep till... Okay. I could sleep 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So getting me out of bed, I said, okay, I'm gonna help my mom today. And so I put my clothes on. I got ready for school, and I went to bed. And so what I did is, so when I in the morning I got up out of bed and ran downstairs and sat at the table. Now at the end of the day I was a little gamey, but that's okay. What? I was ready. I was dressed. As contrast, but I was those who are naked. That he may not go to what? Seen being what? Exposed. So what are we talking about here? Readiness, we're talking about naked, and that you have Christ on your side. So when the second coming of Christ comes, in a spiritual sense, ready... The spiritual unbeliever is going to be caught spiritually what? He's going to come like a thief. Naked. Because, again, their sins have been exposed. They assembled them at the place that in Hebrew was called Armageddon. And just so you know, there's a, you know, very small picture, but... The Valley of Megiddo, it's there. Any legitimate tour of Israel, guess where you're going to go? They're going to shoot you up north to Megiddo. 8 days stand there, and you see a valley coming from the northeast and a valley, and you're going to see east, and it kind of comes down into the middle of Israel, coming through the east. Millennium, for centuries, the armies of the world came through this valley. And for Israel, it's kind of in the middle of the Middle East. Northwest, you have Asia to the northeast. You had Africa to the south. So you have Europe to the north. If you wanted to get to any spot, where did you go? To the Valley of Megiddo. Northwest, and it's filled with blood. Filled with blood through the years. And yet we're going to... The Valley of Megiddo is filled. The last battle of humankind will be fought at the Valley of Armageddon, and the blood will rise. How to find that to the horse's bridles. And frankly, high service to Christ, it's not going to be a battle. It's going to be a judgment. It's going to be a slaughter. I've done a disservice. Now what we find between the sixth bowl and the seventh bowl is no... There's no... Oh, thank you for catching my breath. With the seal judgments, we got no interlude. We had the two witnesses, the 144,000 witnesses. We got the 144,000 witnesses reprieve, excuse me. And then after the trumpet judgments, we got reprieve. chapters 12 through 15. In chapter 16, we this, you know, reprise. We get no interlude. Why? It's coming hard. We get no, this is the end. And what we're going to find here in the seventh bowl, harsh and fast, 9, is that it's going to be catastrophic. On page 250, the seventh angel, bottom of page 259, the seventh angel here, and a loud voice came out of the temple and the throne saying, poured out his bowl into the, is done. The time for the kingdom of God, it's here. For those of you who go to this church, Brent has been talking about to arrive is the kingdom, God's kingdom. When Jesus came to earth, he was ushering the beginning of, in the gospel, kingdom. And through the last 2,000 years, his kingdom has been, is what? Growing. Now what we're going to find, what? Growing here. And what I mean by that is that after these bold judgments, Christ is going to come, that his kingdom is ushering in his what? Perfect kingdom. This is why this kingdom in his full glory and be somewhat confusing. Well, did he bring it or didn't he bring it? Or is it, no, it's him of God thing. Gradual bringing in of his kingdom, climaxing with the second coming. This is a grab. His kingdom is fully come. Judgment is what? Done. Verse 18, and there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never peals of on the earth. So great was that earthquake. Never been since man was, I think it's Jerusalem, was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The great city, which I had remembered Babylon the Great, to make her drain the cup of the and God of his wrath. And every island wine of the fury fled away, and no mountains were what? To be what? What? And great hailstorms, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. Found? People are still cursing God for the plague of the hail. And people was what? So severe. Hail, because the plague, hearing it. People's hearts are fully what? Hard here. You're sick of me. One is left who's kind of wishy-washy. Everyone knows. No. Everyone knows this is from God. Everyone is choosing their side. What's going on? Revelation, we've talked about it. There is one and two decisions. One, you are for, and all throughout, against God. There is no third choice. God, one, you are what? It's devastating. Just think about this. The seas are full of blood, and this bowl is blood. There's darkness. There's heat, scorching heat. There's sores. The fresh water is full of blood. There's this huge gathering of the world for a battle. And the huge earthquake. Now, again, it's called a great earthquake. Could this stretch around the world? And then there is this huge, following all the fault lines? My answer is, yeah. Why? Because all the mountains are going to be what? What? Yeah. Thank you. Wow. Flattened. Is this to be taken literal? Again, I think we continue to kind of follow that as this is literal. Now, again, is this, it will be a great earthquake will destroy the world that will usher in that will usher in the second coming of Christ. Now, in the kingdom of God, and you read chapter 16, and you're still trying to piece who the, if you're normal, being is, and say, how can a God be so just God? God gives you the answer to chapters 16 in verses judgmental. He says, this is what I'm judging. 17 and 18. In 18, what he describes is this world kingdom of the Antichrist. And in chapter 17, a further peek into what's going on. And God will, we even get as a sinful, blasphemous empire that rejects. He'll describe this. That's why he judges it in chapter 16. His love. So where we're moving forward now in chapter 17 and 18, we're going to get further details of this world kingdom that is going to be headed here, Christ. Okay, let's keep moving by the Annex. 260. There's on page. Someone asked me about the virgins. There's a couple questions there. Revelation 14:4. You can read that on your own. But I thought that was a great question. I enjoy the use of virgins and into that. Some of your versions, the New American looking at, translates virgins into people who are chaste. And that can standard, that would be very appropriate. And then I just want to mention this. That would be appropriate. I have taught Revelation from my interpretation. I haven't really gone back and I say this, but there's this one area about this mark of the beast. Forth, well, they say this. We've talked about before that I believe that people who have the mark of the beast still can come. That there are people that say once you have the mark of the beast, you've aligned yourself to Christ. And you are sealed into eternal damnation. So people who believe off with Satan, me and say, ay, 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 quit talking like that. Because I could be actually that, look at people like that. Take the seal. Well, I'm kind of waiting on this thing. Okay, really encouraging people to what? That. And so I want to be very, and I get that. Saying that even though I still believe what I believe. I still believe objective here. Chance to come to salvation, because I think what, as we've read several places, the people have the chance, people who have the mark and what? Worship. Places here. It's fair here that I could be wrong. And but again, I want to be gonna take is the what? Mark of the beast. I mean, this is the last thing that you ever would want with here. Because this is representing the kingdom of what? Satan. This is not to be played with. So again, I want to be truthful here from the standpoint of my position. So making sure that, at least in this case, I do a better job of bringing both cases. But also make off there, for the sake of time, the reasons. And hopefully I've done a good job in preparing that. And you can read for yourself. Our time is done. Today, hopefully, what you've seen, so our God will judge sin. God is giving people as much time as possible to repent, is that God Christ. And that at the end of time, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, and come to understand that these judgments are coming from Almighty God. And for those people believe they know exactly what they're doing. People who refuse to believe to separate themselves from God. And they are choosing, while that breaks my heart, it's your choice. And God says, this is what you will have. You will have my full wrath, and you will have my full judgment. Again, it calls us to be fervent in our lives. For the love of Christ, understanding what God has done for us in our lives and the precious gift that we have to be fervent in our lives, eternal life, and to have an urgency, a prayerful urge of eternity to share that love with others. Again, that's another big picture thing that I really didn't see. Way that if sharing your faith intimidates you, we want you to take a and just start praying for people. And if you have been a faithful, take the first step, keep doing it. Again, as we talked about conforming witness for Christ, comes to our witnessing, continuing to take that next step. Whatever it went to the image of Christ when it comes, but do it. Take the next, whatever that means for you. And for those of you who really haven't been doing that, a step. Take one person. One person. I just want to encourage you. Pray that God will work in their lives. And if you pray that, guess what? God will give you the and someday, somewhere, an event will happen and your opportunity to do person. And that person may even ask you about Jesus Christ. You're going to find yourself with that person once. All to come. And when you pray his will, because guess what? God's prayers. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, he will answer those. They are so patient. I thank you for these ladies. Help us all to continue to grow in your word, to understand. Father, help majesty that you are Almighty God. Father, help us to continue to grow and your full means in our lives. Father, help us to have grateful, thankful hearts. For our grasp of what that means. In this room who are dealing with issues, Father, we just pray for your comfort and your peace in our life. For those of us who are, Father, that you would help us guide through these tough times. Father, who have unsaved family members and friends, Father, that you would draw them to you. For those of us, Spirit, that you would remove the blinders from their eyes and they would see the need through the power of the Holy Spirit to believe in Christ and to declare him Lord of their lives. Father, mightily in our lives, that you would continue to bless us, that you would help us continue to grow in our love for you. We just pray that you would work in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Have a great week, and we'll see you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Revelation 17. Thank you.